Hey, good evening, guys. How are you? I am back. I am recovering after this super, super cold that I lost my voice for almost a week and a half, probably thinking to yourselves, you know what, that's the best thing that could happen, but it happened. So fortunately, it was kind of brutal. You know what, we were starting, and I am going to go back here. We're on Leviticus, but I'll tell you what, I want to jump around today, and I want to change that on up just a little bit, and I want to go to Isaiah. I've been doing a lot of reading on Isaiah, and I think this is a great book just to start out reading with. And because I am kind of off track tonight and getting there, it is such a really, really just wonderful book that, you know, I'm just in love with it. Anyway, we're going to get into Isaiah. I want to give you, and you're going to see it all the way through it, this perspective of how Isaiah, after talking and getting information from God, what the future was going to be. Way before the New Testament. And it was really cool. And if you hear this, you can kind of see how we're in the middle of this right here, where it's delving kind of into the New Testament and going back to the Old Testament. And it'll hopefully give you a better perspective. So when we go back to Leviticus here, because we've been in Leviticus for a little while, and we're, you know, talking about the discharges of man, the preparation of the high priest. And if I sneeze a little bit, I'm sorry still, guys. I'm going to probably be doing that. And things prohibited of the priesthood. All these rules that Moses has set up, that God has set up through Moses, discussing the thing, the cleansing of houses from leprosy and everything else. But you get a better perspective of how God is working in everything when we jump into Isaiah, because we're right there where he's going forward and then he's going back. And you're going to understand why God is so upset with everything and what is going to happen. So let's delve into that, and I apologize again. This has been a brutal cold. A cold for you is a week. A cold for me is about a month. So anyway, let's get into it. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And he's discussing the different kings and the different parts of the 12 different tribes and the groups that are in Jerusalem and Judea and all the other areas, and how that they have, after been giving these sets of rules from, you know, Leviticus and Exodus and everything else, how they keep disobeying God. So let's move on. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel, do not know, my people do not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. They're not healed up. They're not been given attention. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, that we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or rams or the he-goats. They sacrificed back then, and you saw the earliest times. They were sacrificing for sins and everything else, going back into Leviticus and going back all the way from that time of Moses. And yet they never turned their face. So even after seeing Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed, the people are still like this. They have never changed. They've given into sin, sexual impurity, immorality, deceitfulness, just cruelness, everything. They've never changed. And you can see that our Father, God, is tired of it. They have just, like a pin, just poking the back of the Lord, and he's waxed hot. He is tired of it. And they don't seem to learn. They're not getting anywhere. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who have required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incense. It is an abomination to me. Now it's changed to where this was supposed to be a special gift, a present, an honorary thing to give to God. No more. We've made it a mockery, and God cannot be mocked. And we have done this without second thought. And now these people are worshiping Baal, Molech, Astra. They're worshiping other gods that don't exist. And when you think about that, and you think of how stupid that we really were and still are some today, divinations, sorcery, seers, all these different things, or praying to these idols. And it's very interesting because the idols that these people are praying to, we're going to get into it on this part in a little bit, but are they not made of like wood and something else? So you make an idol of wood, you take the remnants, you burn a fire, you're cooking food on it and everything else, but this is supposed to save you. No. And this is why God is like, I don't want any more of this. So let's find out why. And that's why I love the book of Isaiah. It's going to be very clear as to why. Bring no more vain oblations, incense, abomination unto me, new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even in solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are troubling unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from behind my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Again, God, there's conflict between man and God. And man's never going to win that conflict. But the reconciliation is God is still there. So why a lot of people read the Old Testament and they say God is ruthless. No, God is still there. He is still over and over and over again. And he's telling them exactly what he doesn't like. He's been clear. He's been forthright. And yet we're not getting it. And it amazes me because when you look at the world today, it is no different. We are not hearing. We are not perceiving. We're not getting it. How is it that the faithful city has become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. The silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. The princes are rebellious and the companion of thieves. Every one's loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither do the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of my enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy sin, all thy ten. And I will restore thy judges as the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and of her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. And they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed, for they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. And you could see, it's almost a point to where he's discussing Revelation here. Isaiah is discussing Revelation. He's kind of in it a little bit saying, listen, this is our chance here. So the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above all the hills and above all nations shall flow unto it. And the many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us all go to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. It's the coming of the kingdom. You can see he's delved into here exactly what is to come. what this world is going to be like. O house of Jacob, ye, and let us walk into the light of the Lord. Who's the light? Who's the truth? You are you starting to put it together? Because I'm seeing it, and that's my interpretation. Of course, it has many different interpretations, but you can see directly where he's talking revelations, where he's talking about what is going to happen, and he's prophesying this all along. So, therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of the east, are the soothsayers, like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their hands are also full of silver and gold. Is there any end of their treasures? Their land is also full of horses. Is there any end of their chariots? Their land is also full of idols. They worship the wood of their own hands, or they worship the work of their own hands, which their fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down. The great man humbleth himself. Therefore, forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon the ships of Tarshish, and upon the pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day man shall cast his idols of silver, his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, into the moles and to the bats, into the clefts of the rocks, and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. And when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he able to be accounted of? I mean, it's almost going right through Revelations here when God is saying, there's going to come this time. And you've been warned about it. You've been told about it. And when Christ comes back, you're going to be looking for places to hide because of you're scared from all the different things that we've done, inequities and everything else. Every tongue will cease, every knee will bow, and we know this. So here we are, chapter 3, real quick. For behold, the Lord of hosts doeth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff of the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. The mighty man, the man of war, the judge, and the prophet, and the prudent, and the ancient, the captain of 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent operator. And I will give children to be princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. And when a man shall take hold of his brother and of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because of their tongue and of their doings are against the Lord to provoke in the eyes of his glory. And the shrewd of the countenance doeth witness against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have reward evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their well-doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for many people, children are the oppressors, women rule over them. My people, which they lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. He's pled with us all the way through to follow his commands. Come back, turn back to me, and I will cleanse your sins. He's not doing anything different than he's always done. But now he's reached that point in his word. He is angry. He is mad at us, and rightfully so, because we've made him wax hot. And I'm sorry, I have to take a drink here and there because I'm still getting my voice back. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts? Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks, and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they do, making a tinkling of their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite thee with the scab, the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. The Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their calls, and their round tires like the moon. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of their legs, and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings and the rings and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glass and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of the sweet smell, there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a grounding of sackcloth. And burning instead of beauty. Men shall fall away by the sword, in thy mighty war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground. And in that day women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. And in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem into the book of life. And when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning, And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day, and assemblies a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a there shall be a tabernacle for the shadow in the daytime from the heat, and a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. Now I will sing unto my well-beloved a song of my well-beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath the vineyard in every fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out of the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it shall bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now, go to, I will tell you what I will do in my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it to waste, and it shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also commend the clouds, that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah is his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In my ears, saith the Lord of hosts, in truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and continue until night, till wine inflame them, and harp, and the voice, and the tabret, and the pipe, and wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge of their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath engaged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and the multitude, and their pomp, and that he rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed on their after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with the cords of vanity, and sin as it were a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, the men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for the reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteousness from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness as their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the street. For in all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from afar, and he will hiss unto them from the bottom of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary, none stumble among them. None shall slumber, none sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, for the latchet of their shoes be broken. Whose arrows are sharp, and all their bows bent, their horses' hooves shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion, and they shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar, and they lay hold of their prey, and carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened, and the heavens thereof. So you could see how he's directly this, all these things that are going to happen, all these things that are predicted, all these things that are said with Isaiah, you can see in the future. And we're here. We have in our world today where we believe wrong is right, right is wrong. We have made a mockery of the Lord. And God will not be mocked. And you could see the price that is going to be paid, because we are so arrogant and we have lifted up ourselves and we think that we're wise, and yet we will not humble ourselves before God. And he's made it clear. He is angry. He has waxed hot. So he's trying to tell these people, is today the way that we're living any different than what was going on back then? No, it's not. We might be more evil today than they were back then, by far. We found new ways to be evil and to do things to harm one another than ever before. We've grown into it. And we need to stop. We need to consider God's laws, God's word, God's righteousness, and God's mercy, and his love, and his glory. In that year, King Uzziah died. I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole is filled with his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips. Thy iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here I am, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive. Somehow or another, we got booted off there for a second. Then I said, oh, not sure what's happening here. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, until the houses without man, until the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking. Not really sure we're having some difficulty here, and I'm not really sure why, but hopefully it will be okay here. We're just going to keep going. But yet it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and it shall be eaten as a tree, as a teal tree, as an oak, whose substance is them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Anyway, we're going to go on, and it's very interesting where God is going to say, I'm doing, and you could hear it. We're going to jump to chapter 9. And if you think that he's not telling you exactly what's going to go on, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government and the peace thereof shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with the justice henceforth forever and ever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And the Lord sent a word to Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And the Pisrael, and the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride of stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with the hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him, and to join together, to join his enemies together, the Syrians before the Philistines behind. And they shall devour Israel with open mouth, for his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For many people turneth not to him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch, and rush in one day. And the ancient and honorable is he, the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies. He is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on the fatherless and widows. For every one is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the wickedness burneth as a fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like lifting of a smoke. And the interesting part is when we come back, and I'm going to go just before that, and we're going to go on up here, and we're on Isaiah, and I want to tell you these things. Isaiah chapter 7, and we'll get into it right here. It's chapter 7, and we're going to go to verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spoke again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear me now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but ye will weary my God also. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, and he may know to refuse the evil and to choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that though thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day of Ephraim, departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is the othermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest in all of them, in the desolate valleys, in the holes of the rocks, and upon all thorns, and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with the razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head of the hair of their feet, and it shall also consume the beard. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where were 1,000 vines and 1,000 silverings, and shall ever be for briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns, and on the hills shall be digged with the mattock, and there shall not come hither the fear of briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and for the treading of lesser cattle. See, the Lord is doing a new thing. He's made it clear. He's made it exactly why. And you could see it is clearly talking about Christ coming. He is, for unto us a child is born. All the way back, we're talking all the way back before the New Testament. And it's amazing. It is amazing to me that when you look at this, and this just to me just proves the Bible more and more. I mean, it is incredible that you can see the things that are happening, that are going to happen, and everything else. That's why it's important. You have to read the Old Testament like we're doing, because as we're going through, it does what? It proves the New Testament, which is really cool. And you can see how he is working. And when we go here, let's go to, and I want to bring this up again. And I believe we are on, if I can get the page to turn. And we are right here. And I want to get into this because this is really cool. Verse 18 on chapter 43 on Isaiah. Remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing now. It shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. He's doing a new thing. Christ is coming. And he's making way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. John the Baptist. And he's very clear of it. And it's direct, and yet the whole way through Isaiah, it talks about this. So now we can go back to Leviticus, and we can go through on chapter 15, the discharges of the men. All these things, how we're supposed to keep ourselves clean, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to offer offerings unto the Lord wholeheartedly, but we're not. And that is the problem with it, that people are having. That's why God said at the one point, listen, I'm going to go on out because I might consume them along the way for their iniquities. And we see that. And of course, Moses had to intercede and ask the God to relent, to stop. Please stop, so that the Egyptians can't turn and say, hey, listen, even God didn't want to deal with them. And the Lord chose them. But yet, we have tested them all along the way. And then we get to Isaiah, which is the Old Testament. And he's talking about, I'm going to do a new thing. Forget the former things. It was too much for you to deal with. You small-minded, stiff-necked people, forget the former things. I am going to do a new thing. God already knew that we were never going to measure up. We have been sinners all the way from the early part of Genesis, where he wanted to flood us. We're inherently evil from the time that we're born until the time that we pass. So God is doing a new thing so that we could draw near to him and come to believe in him, trust in him, love him. And, you know, we say our prayers to him, but we find out more and more in this world today that we only call on him when we need him. And he doesn't just, he wants that, but that's not the only thing he wants. He wants us to call on him when things are great, when things are going well. And he'd love to hear us say, I love you. Thank you, God. Thank you for everything that you've given me. And Paul's clear about it in the New Testament. He has learned to be content when he had nothing. And he's learned to be abased. He's when he has everything. So it's important that we're looking at this in a different perspective. Anyway, I got off track here, and I know it said we're going to do chapter 15, the discharges of man, which is on page 140 in Leviticus, Leviticus 15 in King James. But we're going to get on to that next week. I wanted to jump into this so that as we're reading this, with all the rules, with all the laws, the purpose of the laws of leprosy, the cleansing of houses, the purpose of the law of discharges, the discharges of a woman, the preparation of the high priest, all these things, God was making these things so that we knew how to handle those situations because they were coming. These are things that are happening. So following these laws so that we could be clean in his sight. And we couldn't. We couldn't do it. We haven't been able to do it all the way through. And that's why God said, forget the former things. I'm doing a new thing now. And it's going to be my son. And he's made it clear. He's given him the name Emmanuel. He has given him the name. You can see it. Isaiah is seeing it. And he's telling them, you know, God is angered, but yet his hand is right there if we choose to come back to it. When we sin, we pull away our hand. God's never moved. Is he disappointed with us? You know, I can't think for the Lord. I would imagine so. But how could we have his thinking? But his hand is right there. And then we come back and get that reconciliation, get that forgiveness, get that love. And then we sin again. And his hand still is right there. Blessed be our Lord and Savior God. Thank you. Thank you for just dealing with us and blessing us with everything that we have. And with that, guys, we are going to get out of here. I thank you for joining us today. I'm sorry I got off track, But the more I thought about it and reading through Leviticus, it is a very, very difficult book. It is for me. I know that. I know the purpose for it, but still trying to see all the different and trying to interpret all the different things for myself. And of course, like I said, any questions? I'm not a priest. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not a preacher, bishop, whatever, deacon, anything. I'm just a guy that loves to read the Bible. But if you ever have questions, when you go to church and everything else, ask, get to know it. Look up, learn, get to know it. Get to know God's living word. I can't stress that enough. It'll bring peace to you. And in this dark world that we live in, I can't think of a better gift than God's living word. And as you go through, you can see without a shadow of a doubt that it's a living word, because it's going right through the steps. It proves itself over and over again. I'm not talking about the artifacts, the places, the scrolls, the scripts, and different things, the tombs, the cities, the witness, the accounts, the word. And that's the coolest thing. Get to know God. Get to know his son. It's the whole purpose of our relationship with him, to understand or try to understand. And it's hard. And you have to keep reading it and reading it and reading it, reading it over and over and over. And little as I go, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Now I'm seeing it. You're studying. Just as you do in life and anything else, you're studying. You're constantly committed and studying. And it's going to take a lifetime. It doesn't stop. So God bless you. I wish you all peace. Be safe. Love one another. Help those that need help. Don't be calloused. Don't be cold. Help those that are in need. The more that we can do for our fellow man and for all those out there, the better off we'll be. So with that, thanks for joining Life Walk with Christ God. And we'll be back. I'll get us back on track. I thought that was important to hear so that you can kind of understand that you can see how it's going to transform from the Old Testament to the New Testament and really turns into Christianity. But there's more. But that is all we needed to learn first while we're going through this, so that you can kind of see and it can kind of tie in a little hint for the future of what we read in the Bible. Anyway, thank you all for joining in. Sorry about the little hiccups and stuff. I'm not really sure what they were, but we'll iron them out later on. Take care, guys.